So just one important nakuda, that we have a great amount of akara satov to what happens in this week's parsha, because we all exist because of it. Eliezer was sent on a mission that was very, very successful, and we are here because of it. He was Mashadich, our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. He brought together Yitzchak and Rivka, and we should be very grateful. We should be very appreciative of that. It seems like it was a tremendous success. It seems like it was wisely done, and it seems like it had a great result. So as much as we're Makir Tov, some of the earlier descendants of Rivka and Yitzchak seem to have a little bit less appreciation, because you find at least two places in Chazal where Eliezer is criticized for the way he carried out this mission. And in one place, the Gemara Masech is Tainis in the beginning, the Gemara tells us that he was Bikesh Shaloka Hogan, that he asked in an appropriate way. It's compared in that sense to Yiftach. Yiftach didn't work out as well. For Eliezer, it did work out well, but he's lucky, because who knows if he really would have gotten a shidduch that was so perfect through this system. And the Gemara in Maseches Chulin, we haven't had a chance to see yet, but God willing, cover the whole Masech that we should see it. But the Gemara in Maseches Chulin has a maybe equally surprising comment. Now, the Gemara is trying to figure out what is the Isser of Nechush. So what is the Isser of Nechush? Can anyone guess? That's the Hebrew usage of the term. L'nachesh is to guess. But in Talmudic and Torah usage, the Torah says lo sanachashu. So we understand that to mean that we shouldn't be superstitious. We shouldn't make decisions that are based on nothing and based on irrational factors. So in that context, the Gemara in Maseches Chulin tries to define what is the standard for Nechush. And the Gemara gives you example as a standard of Eliezer Eved Avraham. Kol Nechush she'eino k'Eliezer Eved Avraham eino Nechush. I'm going to give another example from Nach, but just to focus on this one from the Parsha. To pick on Eliezer as an example of superstitious behavior seems very, very problematic. Because the definition of a superstitious decision would be that it's irrational. So you say, if it rains today, I'm going to buy the stock. And if the next car that passes is a blue car, then I'll sell that stock. So there's no connection between the car and the rain and the stock, so that's nechush. But Eliezer wasn't making random plans. He had a specific goal, to find the Balas Chesed, which is certainly our value system, for the daughter of the son of Avraham Avinu, daughter-in-law of Avraham Avinu. And he set up a test designed to see if she would act with chesed. So why is that to be criticized at all? That seems like a very wise plan, and seemed like it was very successful. So Rishonim debate exactly how to read this Gemara. Now, should it bother us to say that Eliezer was in violation of Nechush from a halachic perspective? Eliezer presumably wasn't Jewish, so that's also a discussion. It's a question whether we should assume that Bnei Noach are also subject to the prohibitions of Kishuf, or the fact that Eliezer presumably followed the practices of his master of Avram, and that's why it should bother us. But setting that question aside, the whole association with this plan in Nechush, very hard to understand. So here, there is a debate. There is debate among the Rishonim. If you look at the Rambam, the Ravid, Tosfos, the Ran, different Rishonim interpret this Gemara differently, and some indeed don't think that it works to attach Nechush to Eliezer. So some of the Rishonim say that it doesn't mean that he was over on Nechush. It means that in order to violate Nechush, you need to have a complete reliance on your sign, on your indicator. And that's where we look to Eliezer as an example of that, where if it was irrational, that would have been Nechush. So even if that's the approach, still seems a little ungrateful to Eliezer. that he should be the poster boy for Nechash, whether we say he was technically not guilty of it personally, but we hold him up as the illustration of this Isser, seems to be a little bit surprising. So I think the point that may emerge from here is that Eliezer does maybe deserve some criticism, depending on how you read the story. And this is also subject to different interpretations in the Mefarshim. But if one does assume, like we said a minute ago, that essentially this was a one-step test, Eliezer had this one test and said, this is going to make or break the whole situation, that's where there is room to criticize. Even though the general plan made a lot of sense and was very rational. And had he said, okay, this will give me an insight a little bit to what I'm dealing with, and then I'll look further. So then maybe it would have all been gewaldic, and it would have been a perfect mahalach. But to say, okay, here is this action, and I assume there's a 100% linkage between an action and a character trait, that's dangerous, because it's simply not true. It's simply not the case that every action is fully representative of the person doing it. And it may not even be partially representative. It may just be our subjective interpretation of what this action means. So to say, I can look at this episode and I can tell you what this person is about, is very misleading in a lot of ways. And part of the problem is something that contemporary psychologists call the fundamental attribution error, that when we look at others, we judge their character based on whatever action we're seeing. But when we think about ourselves, we assume that the actions are more dictated by circumstances. So, for example, you see somebody push in front of the line in the store, so you say, oh, he's a jerk, he's rude, that's what I can tell from this. But if you push in front of the line in the store, well, what do you expect? Had a bad day, and I was in a big rush, and it was very important, and it was for a good reason. So your action is seen as circumstance dictated, doesn't really reflect anything about you. But when somebody else does the same thing, so we have a tendency to say, okay, now we get them. That tells me everything I need to know. And that's an error, as the name indicates. It's a mistake. And it's probably the cause of a lot of fighting and a lot of tensions between people. People say, if he was really a nice guy, he would do this. If she really loved me, she would do X, Y, Z. And because it doesn't match up with the test that I've set, so then we tend to get into big fights because we think we can interpret an action as reflecting the whole character of a person in a one-to-one correlation, and very often that's not fair. And it's possible that this is one of the reasons why the Torah prohibits Lashon Hara. It's always a topic of inquiry. Why should it be that if there's something that's true and factual, why should it be a problem to say it? And among the issues seems to be that it's hard for the listener to get a real accurate picture from any one story that you're saying. And even when you're talking about something that's factual, it's very often misleading. And because of this human tendency that a person hears a story and they think, okay, now I can extrapolate from there everything I need to know about that personality, perhaps that's one of the reasons that the Torah says you have to be very careful, even if you're saying a factual story, what the damage can be of how the listener may interpret that. So perhaps this is where Eliezer went wrong a little bit, even though the results were good, that to make a approach like that and make it completely contingent, you don't know. Maybe she could have been a great Balas Chesed, and for whatever reason she didn't go through these steps. Or maybe she could have gone through these steps and she had other motives and she wasn't such a Balas Chesed, or she's very conflicted in other ways. So to take that approach and such a confidence in our own ability to analyze every episode and to decide what it says about the person, it's a dangerous way of thinking. And especially as you consider aspects of dating, so we have to recognize that both in terms of what you may encounter on any given date, especially at an early stage, when you don't have any other context to know a person, And all the more so, even before there's been a date and before people have met each other and they're answering questions on a piece of paper, it's very hard to get an accurate picture from whatever details are being highlighted as representative. So, unfortunately, we are human beings with limited resources and limited abilities to perceive each other. So sometimes we have to make do with things like that. And we can't just go out with everyone 100 times, and we have to make do with our limited access. But the more we're aware of the limitations of that access, and that whatever tiny window we have may not necessarily reflect much more than that was in front of us, and that our own abilities that we think we have to be able to darshan, even more than Sherlock Holmes, just a little bit of a glimpse, is something to really be careful about and to not get overconfident about. And a lot of mistakes have happened because of such approaches, a lot of good relationships that never happened, a lot of good relationships that got spoiled, a lot of tensions that were unnecessarily created because we give ourselves too much credit for our ability to interpret these little snippets that we see. I'll just add one more point, though, in terms of Eliezer's mission. So there is a fascinating statement, the Ran, Rabbeinu Bachya, that correlates to something we spoke about in Parshas here 2 weeks ago, Parshas Bereishis. So Avram sends Eliezer off to go to his family to find a shidduch, and he says, don't take somebody from around here. So the Rishonim ask, we know that his family was not so impressive either. And we know that Avram was from a family of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So why is he saying, no, here's not the right place, go back to my relatives? Either way, it's not going to be so terrific. So these Rishonim, the Ran, Rabbeinu Bachya, and others have a fascinating mahalach and say that midos are more important than hashkafa, so to speak, more important than theology. Because theology can be taught, and theology can be acquired, but midos is something that very much is transmitted from the household. So you should worry about that when you're looking at a family context, you're looking at a cultural context. You should worry more about the midos than about issues of theology and hashkafa, which an individual can take on their own. Now, of course, when it comes to midos, we believe you have control of your midos also to develop, and that's what the Zohar Gaon says you have a whole lifetime for in order to address that issue. But still, their point is, that that is much more something which is transmitted from the context and from the household, and therefore, Avram was saying, better you should worry about that and not worry as much about the hashkafic issues of the fact that they come from Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Now, just one more marmokum, you may ask a question about that. If you read the story, it doesn't seem like their family, their loved one, were such balei midos either. So it's not just the Avodah Zarah issue. It doesn't seem like their midos were so perfect. So I'll just give you one marmokum, a little bit of a plug. Also, there's a sefer called Ma'aris Yitzchok. It's written by a rabbi I'm acquainted with, Rabbi Yitzchok Edeltok, who discusses that point. He has a little bit of a discussion in his Sefer on Chumash, and his Sefer on Parshas Chayisari. He explains a little bit how you could read the details of what happens in the Parsha as consistent with this assumption that some of the Rishonim have, that there still were midos among that particular family as well. So it's an interesting read. I also mention that because I know the Mechaber has told me that he's planning on coming out with another volume on all of Chumash. I thought this volume on Bereishis is very interesting, so give that a little bit of a commercial. Okay, so these are some important nekudas as far as the whole dating parsha, which I very much brought out, I think, from this dating parsha.
Okay.